State of Hip Hop is powered by Learn MBE, the music school for musicians. Welcome to the State of Hip Hop. I am your host, 6-4, man. It's been a minute. I appreciate y'all to still rock with me, man. This is part two of Handling Your Business, man. I got my guy one more time, Sidney Eugene, man, the music exec, man. Sidney, say what's up to him.
What's up, people?
Word. So catch me up, Sid. What's been going on with you?
Oh, man, life is interesting, man. So for us over at Learning BE, we just wrapped up our first fully international class. We've been an international brand from the beginning, but we just wrapped up our first fully international class in regards to the way we handle the curriculum. And those guys just wrapped up last week, and they're graduating tomorrow and getting their certificates in the whole nine. And it's been really, really cool, man. I learned so much now that we've changed the curriculum more so to address the globalization of music. It just blew my mind, man. You know, like I say, I've been around music my entire life, you know, and from a professional aspect for more than half of my life. And it still blew me away. I learned something every class. It was just like, wow, I did not know this. Like, I did not know that this was in place. And I think the biggest thing that came out of that was that there are already avenues that are paved in regards to our music industry to help us to participate in music globally. And that right there, for me, was a breath of fresh air. You know, because as much as we've been always telling people, you need to look outside of the United States. You need to, you know, do things internationally. You know, we always reference Danica being number one in Norway and number one in India in her genre. And, you know, that's how she was able to cash out. But I never really realized it to the extent that I do now, that, like, that really is the answer. I mean, even in regards to aggregation, distribution, any of those things, you know, placements, radio, you know, all of those things, you got to think about it. It's kind of like, if you really just look at the map, America is not the largest part of the map, right? You know, and so it kind of makes sense. It's like common sense, but it's something that we just overlook. And I think, you know, I spoke to somebody today in Chicago about it, and they just said, yeah, you know, in America, we just tend to think that that the whole universe centers around us. But that's really not true, and especially in the music industry, it's the exact opposite. You know, America is a very small portion of the business that's handled globally in music, and so yeah, man, that's really what I've been digging into, and like I say, it opened up the world to me, and I learned about all these new platforms and companies and so forth that are in place to really make it to where you could be a star and a household name in a country you've never been to. And still be a no name in the country you were born in, you know?
Right. And, you know, that's facts. And that, you know, it's like, you know, I was trying to figure out, I mean, you know, once, you know, y'all already know, man, this is the State of Hip Hop, man. I do this on the fly, man. We do this unscripted because we keep it real. I keep it G. I keep it 100 with everything. So with that said, we talked about in our last interview, we talked about handling your business and the importance of handling your business and, you know, being able to minister, you know, everything that it is so you can become self-sufficient in the music industry and not have to, you know, necessarily, quote unquote, rely on the label to get your exposure and to get your footprint set. So this one, let me ask you about the importance of reaching outside of your market area and out of your demographic and out of you know reaching overseas, and, you know, as you just stated, how imperative it was, you know, with the artist Danica overseas, you know, the impact that she has right now, and, you know, her following, you know, her sales, her stream counts, all of those things make a difference. So we're finna take a short break. This is the State of Hip Hop. We're gonna be right back. This is the State of Hip Hop. I am your host, 6-4, man. I got Sidney Eugene on the phone. So, Sid, give me a quick rundown of your resume. Give the people, let's give them a refresher so we can, you know, establish who we're talking to and the weight that you bring with these conversations that we're getting ready to have.
You know, man, I'm just a music lover. I'm just a regular guy that just, my life changed at the age of six. 6 years old. I signed my first record deal. Actually, my parents signed it for me because I was too young. And then at the age of 16, I became the youngest exec. Starting at Warner Brothers Records, left there, went to Universal, did several deals with Universal, and then left there and did several deals with Sony Red, and left Sony Red. Took a decent hiatus from the business and basically had a lot of people saying, hey, you can't leave the business because we need you. And so I ended up coming back. I met a really talented artist that said, look, I would pay you to learn from you. And it was like a light bulb, you know, and I realized that that was my means of contribution. And so that's what I do now. Now we run Learning BE. We'll be a year old in about a week. And in that week's time, we went from 2 states to multiple countries, several countries, and about 30 states. And so so we're doing really, really good in regards to getting the word out and helping to educate creators that are out there looking for the resources. And so that's kind of where I come from. But I always try to remember that I'm an artist first. You know, no matter what, and even sometimes when I'm learning the business and I'm dealing with politics, I sometimes wonder why I have the point of view I do. And then that's when I get back to the, oh, that's right, you're an artist. You know, I started as an artist, you know. And so my heart is in that part of it and the creative aspect of it. But for me, I've just been very, very fortunate to have an inner industry philosophy given to me by some of the elite executives in our business. And it's stuck with me over the years, and it's kind of what I base my ideology off now.
Cool. You're so. All right, first question. You know, I was scrolling through Twitter today, and the question came up, and the question was, you have a choice: $5 million deal with a label on a 360, or $100K a year indie. Which are you choosing?
You know, see, that's a very interesting question, man, and I don't think there's a right or wrong there. I try to always kind of be open-minded in regards to what people's expectations for their life is or are in regards to versatility, because everybody's different, and you just never know. Like, you know, initially, when we started helping artists, we were just indie, you know, you better be indie. And then I realized there were so many artists that wanted to deal with us, but they wanted to go major. And so we had to start addressing major because, you know, like you say, when we started the help desk, I was at Sony Red, you know, so it was one of those things where people were pretty much coming to me for the help desk thinking that it was a gateway to Sony Red, you know, and I think every time they came, we may have even pitched it that way because I'm in the Sony Red building. So, you know, and right across the hall is where you see all these execs and stuff. And so they pretty much presume that, okay, after I do this, I'm going to go over to Sony Red. But there were so many people that once we did start addressing the major aspects of what you could accomplish by handling your business as an indie and then dealing with a major, that once they figured that part out, most of them didn't want to go major. You know, they were just like, you know what? I'm okay now. They thought they wanted to go major, but once they learned and got the education and figured out how they could actually master their craft and have the ownership and you know, kind of be at the helm of their career, then they changed their mind and was like, you know what, I think I'm all right. I don't think I want anybody telling me what to do or giving me an album quota or anything of the sort. You know, I kind of just want to be my own boss. But that doesn't take anything away from the people that want to be major. And so I think the best way to answer that is I would prioritize it. You know, I think if you, those are your only two options, period, then I'm going to go with the 100K. And I'm not taking away from the 360. And if someone said 360, I wouldn't say, ah, that's a bad answer. Because think about it. There are a lot of people that have been able to take that major opportunity and turn it into something else. Now, I do remember sitting at Warner Brothers. I do remember sitting in Universal Studio. I do remember sitting at Sony and wondering why all of these celebrities, especially Warner Brothers, because I was so young and I really had more thoughts than in regards to inquiring how it worked. And I wonder, like, how am I right here with, you know, so let's just, like, Take Six. Like, come out of my office, Take Six, singing one day with Stevie Wonder and Brian McKnight. And they're just all in the hallway singing. And I remember looking at them and being like, these guys have so much power. They have so much authority in their career. Why don't you see them active, like on the front line of changing the industry or making the industry what I considered artist-centric? And then I realized that they really can't. You know, they don't have that freedom. A lot of times there's a no-compete clause, or there's some type of clause in that paperwork that when they sign it, it kind of steps them away from being able to, or takes them away from being able to impact the industry in the way that maybe they could if they hadn't signed that no-compete clause or something to that extent. But they managed to find a different way to create change. And it may be in another area, like, you know, a fast food restaurant, or, you know, fashion, or something else creative, you know, but it wouldn't be music, right, because of the agreement that would get in their way. So you know, there's some people that will take that $5 million, like I say, and put $4 million directly into something else, like real estate or construction or anything that, you know, could continue to produce fruit. So I certainly don't want to take anything away from that. I think that if you do that and you got a business mind and you know how to handle it, that could be the last, you know, piece of debt that you ever need, you know, because you could just take that and transition it into a whole new lifestyle. But if you don't have that and that's not your game, then I think for sure that 100K, oh, it's a game changer, because now not only do you not have those obligations and all that paperwork and those promises, you know, that you sign off on, they're not there, you know, and so you're then able to take that that 100K and do whatever you want to do with it. No one can tell you, hey, you're not able to help other artists, or hey, you're not able to, you know, create change in the industry that you're in, because who can really say that to you, because you're independent and you're self-sufficient, you know. Right. And so I see it from both sides, and, you know, like I say, I try to do that with everything. I try not to be so one-sided, and I mean, even with our course, I'm as much a pupil as I am an instructor. I normally go in and I lay it out on the ground, you know, or on the table, and then I lay the groundwork out, and then I let the students kind of determine which way the course goes. And so, you know, you have some courses or some students that come to the course and they only want to talk about being independent. But then you have other students that they only want to talk about, how do I get Sony's attention? You know, and so I think that you have to be open-minded to both. So I think the best way for me to answer that question is that if it was me we're talking about, I'm going with 100K. And that's simply because I know the business well enough to know that I could take the 100K and turn it into 5 million in a matter of years. And maybe it wouldn't even take that long, depending on how quickly you could juice the machine. Which 100K, you could juice the machine pretty quickly. So I know I can move it around in a bit that I wouldn't need that 5 million, especially when you look at it as debt. I wouldn't need that significant amount of debt on the front end. 100K would be perfectly fine to turn it into something larger.
And you know, that was my argument, and you know, and not really my argument, that was my standpoint on it, because I looked at it, I made it known. It's like, okay, if you sign a 360 for 5 M's, it's most likely for, you know, a 2 or 3 album deal. So you've got to allocate those funds for everybody, because now you have hired all of these people to do all of these things for you. And whatever, you know, whatever, wherever you end up at, you will either be in the red or black. So, you know, you price, you know, I said I would look at the value of first buying my masters out, putting that money up. Because when you're on that label, those aren't your songs. And if you don't have that in place to be able to make that transition like Chris Brown did, like Ray Charles did, and you know, then you're only going to see so much. You're going to miss so much more by not taking care of your own business. And your music is your business in this case. So,
yes.
So this is the State Hip Hop. We're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back. Welcome back. This is the State of Hip Hop, man. I am 6-4 with my special guest, Sydney Eugene. So I want to ask you this question, Sid, because you know, I mean, you know about these things, and being educated is 3/4 of the battle now. It's not just half the battle. It's way more than half the battle.
Right.
So, you know, the question is, how would you, or what would you tell somebody that says, hey, I want to put a song out, and that's all I know I want to do? As far as, you know, and I'm talking outside of the recording, tracking, and post audio work. You know, how would you explain this process to them, as far as, you know, taking your taking your song, getting the footprint, you know, put out on social media, getting the marketing up for it, and most importantly, having a budget to put your songs out with?
So that's interesting. That's a loaded question, man, because, wow, I mean, you know, man, I really, it's one of those things. Okay, so this is kind of how I put it. I think this is the best way to put it. So think about Shelby. So let's just say you're Shelby. You just made the Cobra. You're the guy. You know the car is inside out. You made the engine. You built it. It's fast. You know what you're doing. And then the game changes. And now we have hybrid car. Now everybody still respects Shelby, still made a monster. Shelby still looks at the hybrid, comprehends it. Hybrid built off of something he built. They're still trying to figure out how to get the speed that he was able to get. So he gets it. He gets it. Look at it. Marvels at it. This is ingenious. At the same time, he knows that it's built off the fundamentals, same fundamentals that he used to do the Cobra. Then the game changes again. Now it's fully electric. Okay, fully electric. Tesla's the whole nine. You're just like, okay, what is this? But Shelby looks at it and he realizes that we couldn't have got here without my time. We couldn't have got here without the gasoline. We couldn't have got here without the ingenuity that went into taking fuel and changing it into movement. And he perceives the game in a whole different way. Now, the thing that they all have in common that Shelby gets is they're all on the same road. Okay, not one of those cars is using a track.
Right.
They're all using
right.
the same street. Okay? They're not one of those cars is using some type of electric railing. They're all using the road. And this is the thing that drove Shelby the most in regards to his design and in regards to how he was able to build this machine. So he knows the road. He comprehends that, yeah, these cars now are using battery power instead of fossil fuel or what have you, fuel, but at the same time, they're still using the same principles. They're still trying to get from A to B on the road.
Okay.
And so for me, taking it that way, I see the industry the same as Shelby would see the Tesla, I presume. I see it in a way that you're not going to reinvent the wheel. Now, yeah, you can come up with different ways that the wheel can roll. You might have a Pirelli tire versus, you know, a different method, but you're still on this road, okay? Everything you're doing, like I just looked today, I looked at the new Rolls Royce that's coming out, this futuristic Rolls Royce. It's still using the road. It has four tires. You know, and I know Japan just debuted the first flying vehicle. It's going to be a long time before they trust people to get licenses to fly around. It's a long time, okay?
Right.
So we're going to use this road for a while. So I say that to say that I really have this philosophy that if you can take yourself back to the fundamentals of what makes things move, then you're going to be able to do that in a way that will get you there faster because you at least comprehend the principles by which movement is taking place. Okay,
right.
So
right.
When I say that, I'm really thinking specifically about Danica and the other artists that, you know, like you say, Danica cashed out before we even knew what a stream was. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, she didn't have any streams. She cashed out in 2017, I think. So, I mean, obviously people were putting their music on platforms and stuff like that, but it wasn't like a mainstay. It wasn't like, in 2017, people weren't saying like, how many people do you have on Spotify? You know what I'm saying? Or how many people are streaming your music? Yeah, I mean, you had Reverb Nation in these things, but I mean, it wasn't like, that's everything. People were still really concerned about human relations. And so, for me, if I only have one song, and let's just take it down to the minimal, let's just say you have one song, you don't have a budget, you know, but you got a hot record, and you know you can work it. I'm going to say, what's the fundamental process that would get this record to move? And guess what? It's really only going to take humans. Like, that's really it. You really just need people. You need a body of people. And you don't even need $20,000 or $100,000 or $50,000 or $1 million or anything like that to move. You really need one. And you have the one that really dials in and just says, okay, this is my record. You know that record that you're like, this is my record? And you're like, this is my record, you know? And it's so much your record that you go and tell somebody else about it. Because it's your record. It's not like you're sharing somebody else's music. You're sharing your music because this music speaks to you and it really is your record. And you end up sharing and say, hey, look, you got to hear this song.
Right, right.
And you're
right.
Sharing it with a like-minded person because, you know, normally birds of a feather are going to flock together. So you are sharing it with someone that may have similar interests. And guess what? They're probably going to feel the same way. And then that song is going to become their song. And then you're going to be able to do that and repeat the process multiple times. See, now I think where you have the hiccup in our industry when it comes to these types of philosophies is the encroachment of other industries. Okay, because music is different. Music is a different industry, unlike any other. I talked to a finance guy today. He's like, music and finance are the only two under-regulated industries, and music is way under-regulated than finance. Okay, so music's kind of like the Wild Wild West. It's like anything kind of really can go down in music. And so when you think about trying to compare music to these other, you know, light speed evolutionary type things we've seen in these other industries, you're really doing yourself a disservice. Okay, so, but I think when you're talking about that, it's going to take a certain level of literacy and maturity to comprehend that it's okay if no one knows who you are for the first 3 months that you put that song out. It's really okay if no one knows who you are for the first year you put that song out, specifically if you're working the record. And I don't, when I'm saying nobody, I mean the perception. I mean, like, you have 100 people that are your people with the record, and you probably look down on that. Like, oh, I only got 100 people, you know? But those 100 people are going to bring you another 100 people, and those 100 people are going to bring you another 100 people, and that's how it's going to start to gradually go. So that's what we don't see much of now. We don't see that cult following now, and it's not because of the content. It's just because of the encroachment of other industries. It's moving. How fast can it move? That's your only song? I mean, you'll see one side of the industry is saying you've got to release music every month. I read an article. They're saying you're not even a songwriter if you don't have a song out every month. I'm thinking, Where on earth does that make sense?
Right,
because
right.
What you've basically done, you've cut off the reception time. If you're telling me you're only going to give me 30 days to absorb the music, and then next you're going to give me something else, that's not the way it works. So if you go back to the Shelby time, if you go back to the people that make music now that were back in the Shelby time, they're mainstays, and they're always going to be. Jay-Z is... Really think about this, man. Jay-Z is an old man. And I'm not saying old man, and you know what I'm saying? He's not gray and all of that stuff. But if Jay-Z came over to your house to pick up your daughter, you'd be like, what is this old dude doing here with my daughter? You get what I'm saying? Like, what is he doing, bro? He's an adult. Like, this is a dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not some young, fresh guy. But guess what? He comprehends the way the business works. If Jay-Z was to put out a new song today, don't you think the industry would eat it up?
Man,
right away.
Crazy. You know, these guys are so heavy. And it's like, you know, I had a conversation with somebody, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, we were talking, you know, the guy I work with, he was like, hey, man, you know what you got going on? I said, man, you know, I'm gearing up, getting ready to drop a single. He was like, bruh, you know what I mean? Are you with this new age or what? I said, no, I consider myself an MC. You know, I focus on the bars. I focus on my transition. A lot of these cats are, you know, I broke it down and said, you got two type of cats now in this game. You got the real bar spitters. You got the real lyricists who embrace the culture as a whole and want to push that forward because that's where it started from. And then you've got the new wave guys. And, you know, they've got their own sound. You know, that's cool. I appreciate it. But you take the greats. Every one of the greats are over 40. You take 2 Chainz, you take Jay-Z, you take Talib, you take Rakim, you know, I can keep naming them on and on, but you know this, you know
absolutely
what I mean?
Right,
and they're at a point in their life where they're making their greatest music.
And right.
At the same time, it took me being a late bloomer. But I feel like I'm making my greatest music right now. And that's why I'm prepping. And I'm just telling y'all right now, you know, side note, the departure is on the way. You're not going to be ready for it. This is the State of Hip Hop. We'll be right back. This is the State of Hip Hop. I am your host, 6-4, with Sidney Eugene. Now, we had to take a short pause for the calls. So let's pick right back up. Now, where was we at, Sidney?
So, you know, I certainly don't want to make it seem like I'm anti-electric cars. You know what I'm saying? I'm all about electric cars. But, you know, it's one of those things where you have to know, you got to know the history of it, you know. And so I guess to answer your question in short form would be that if it was me and I just had to release this single, if I knew somebody was just trying to release one record, I'd kind of tell them to do a little bit of research on how their greatest artists got to be where they are. And just kind of figure out what worked for that artist. And I'm not saying copy. But I am saying that sometimes you can minimize your steps by watching someone else who's done it before properly. And everybody's going to bring their own flair to the game. But just think about Kobe Bryant and how Kobe was able to just change the industry. But who did Kobe have as a mentor? He had Michael Jordan.
So
Michael comes in and says, "Hey, look, man, I know all these young dudes are doing this right now, but you need to have these fundamentals. You need to kind of handle yourself like an OG, you know." And so he was instantly an OG. Like Kobe came in as a kid, but he was instantly an OG because of the association and because of the mentorship that he had. And basically not coming in and saying, "No, I'm going to change the game and you guys need to learn from me." You know, it was like, "No, I'm going to become a pupil of this game and I'm going to learn what made it work for the greatest player of all time." And that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like, you don't want to so much just step out there and follow the trend of people who don't even know what's happening. They don't even know how they got to where they are. They're just like, "Oh, okay, I'm just going to go get a million streams." Well, how much is a million streams going to pay you? Why do we use streams now? Do you know why we use streams? Why did we switch over to MP3s? Why did we stop using lossless data? Why are we back using lossless format? Explain that. Why is the number one distributor and number one manufacturer of vinyl expanding? Like, why is this happening? And so the people that don't know the industry and they're seriously just going off of, like you say, the encroachment of other industries, they're going to be the ones that, you know, are so much behind because they don't comprehend how they even got to where they are.
Man.
You know, and so that's kind of my thing, the philosophy of understanding where we came from as an industry and where we're going based off of this road that we're on. Yeah, we got a car that can fly now. Yeah, Japan just let us know we got one. But it's going to be a long time. So you better master the road. You better master this road so that by the time we get to the flying cars, you'll comprehend how that works, you know? But the people who don't take that time to study, and like you said, now education is more than 3/4. I mean, I'd even say education is 80%, maybe even 90% now, because we see the talent can be manufactured. That's it. Talent's easy. Like, we can take anybody and make them a star. You know, like,
exactly.
if you don't believe that, look at Taylor Swift. And I don't want to go too much into her. Like, Taylor Swift didn't really pay any major dues. And I'm not anti-Taylor. I love Taylor. But, you know, she came in on a paid route. You know, it was like, "So look, we're going to pay, we're going to make her a star, and it's going to work." And it will work. Because if every time you turn on the news or you turn on the television and you see a certain image, you're going to associate that image with a certain type of prestige, okay? Because you're like, "Oh, I see this on this show, I see it on this talk show, I see it over here, I see it over here." Those are all paid plays.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm sitting in front of, you know, Conan or whoever I'm sitting in front of, it doesn't mean that I did anything deserving to get there. Maybe other time, maybe all I did was just pay for it.
Man.
You know, so we can manufacture stars. That's not an issue. We can put talent out there. You know, I mean, you don't believe me? Look at Millie Vanilli. You know what I'm saying? Like, most people, they forgot about Millie Vanilli. You
Man.
Know, I happen to know the guy who did that deal. And you think about it, it's like, this was all made up. The guy was a great producer, had great songs, and needed somebody to be the face of it. He was like, "Oh, let's just grab these guys." Okay, so we can do that at any time. Okay, but in regards to being great, because that's what I'm about, I'm about greatness. So in regards to being great, you really want to be great and you really want to be a mainstay, Steady J. Steady J. Steady J when he was out in the street selling his CDs for $5.
Man, you know.
You know what I'm saying? And I know that because I was in New York trying to sell my CD for $20. They said, hey, man, I just bought a CD from Jay-Z for $5. I'm not buying yours for $20.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if Jay was able to go and hit the streets and sell CDs for $5, what makes you think you're above that?
Man.
You know what I'm saying? You're getting ready to do some campaign hoping everybody remembers you and puts you right next to Jay as the next Jay. You're not going to be the next Jay if you don't know how we got the first Jay.
Exactly.
You know, so those are the things I would put out there in regards to releasing music. But like you say, man, I'm a lover of music first and foremost, and I don't profess to be a know-it-all by any means. I actually profess to be the opposite, which allows me to make those advances because I learn. I allowed myself to be filled with what the industry has to produce. And so that is where we come from, the philosophy of making yourself a pupil, learning from what the people did before you that worked, and then putting your spin on it.
And on that note, that's game. This is the State of Hip Hop. I am your host, 6-4, with Sidney Eugene. Y'all stand by. We're going to be right back for the closing thoughts. This is the State of Hip Hop. I am your host, 6-4. We back with Sidney Eugene. So, closing thoughts. I'm going to ask you this question. Now, in all fairness, I need your top 5 MCs alive and active right now.
Ooh, that's a big one. That's not, you can't say in all fairness if you say that, bro.
And what I mean, like, you know, and I say in all fairness is like, okay, I got my 5 that I like.
Oh, there's so many though, bro. There's so many. I mean, cause you gotta think about mood. You gotta think about, I mean, cause you know, bro, like if you're in a certain mood, you want to hear a certain type of music, and then, you know, I mean, I just have so many, but let's just go. I mean, and don't judge me on this, man. Okay, I gotta try to cover the spectrum here. Okay, so I'm gonna say Meek first, in no particular order. The only reason I'm saying Meek is because I was just listening to that new Meek, and it's really, I really like Meek, man.
Okay,
Meek's talented, so we gotta put Meek there. I think because we've talked about Jay so much on this call, we gotta say Jay, which, like you say, is such a challenging predicament to pick out 5, man, because I know some of these guys personally, and I feel sideways if I don't like include them in. So let's say Rick. We got to say Rick. You know, I respect Rick for more than just his music. I think he's a boss. I'm gonna say Chance because Chance blew me away, man. I had a pleasure of seeing him perform this past weekend, and it was the most remarkable performance I've seen this year. And so I have to say Chance. And that really is a messed up scenario to be in now because I only have one more spot. So, wow, who are you tossing there, man? I haven't really done much on the West Coast. So, that's tough to put it down to one, man. But don't hate me for this, bro, but I'm going to have to say the game. And the only reason I'm saying these people is because these are people like that have been in my thoughts recently, like within the past few days, and so that's why they resonate with me. I really respect the game, man. Some of these people I think are just heavily overlooked. But now, honorable mention, Black Thought. You gotta give it to Mos Def. You gotta give it to Talib. There's so many people that I would love to hear a record from right now, and there's so many more. Like I can't even. That's not even fair, man. That wasn't even a fair question, bro.
All right, so check it. I'm going to give you my top 5 right now. All, you know, and this is, I don't care. You don't like it, come do something about it. I'm going to give you Fred the Godson. I'm giving you Davies. I'm giving you Meek. I'm giving you Benny the Butcher's new project.
Oh, nice. Benny's project's nice.
I'm giving you Method Man right now.
Oh.
And then,
you got to have a Wu representative.
And then I'm giving you Scarface because you can put his album on right now. So who do I see?
Heavy
okay, so I've got, see East, Gordo, Red, Meek. Did I say Meek?
Yeah, you said Meek. You said Meek.
Benny the Butcher and Scarface. Top 5 lyricists active right now. I don't care. You put them up, they're going to hand it. And I've been starting to look at a lot of the battle rappers. And
oh yeah,
and you want to talk about the real bar spitters, the home team, the guy Bars Major, He's from
Harlem. That's my cousin, bro. That's what I was getting ready to say. I was like, bro, you talk about battling. You got to put my cousin in there, bro. That's my blood cousin, bro. Bars is the king of battling right now,
Bars
in my opinion.
And
I am biased, but I love him. And shout out to Bars.
Man, Harden Place in the building, man. This is the State of Hip Hop, man. I am your host, 6-4. Sid, I appreciate you taking the time to come sit down and chop this up with me. Y'all get ready.
Anytime.
The parts is on the way, man. Shout out to everybody. I appreciate everybody who took the time to listen to this. We got more coming, man. I love y'all. And make a ceiling so we never stop.